In this second half of my chat with actor and now author Aaron Faso, we speak about the terrible tragedy that occurred just a month after he was married. And just a content warning, we do speak about issues around mental health and suicide. Are you able to tell us anything about that? Is it difficult to talk about, easier to write about it than speak about?
Oh, look, no, it was difficult to revisit that particular period in my life. It was difficult to actually do the audio book or the recording to that period in my life. And to speak about it, I think, to be honest, we had gone through a tumultuous, relationship, but I felt that, things were so good. At that time, in terms of, I'd come back to Cairns, 2008, decided to set up Stumps, to stay, and we decided to get back together, and I proposed, and we got married. I've got a successful film and television career that's been forged and I've established, and the future is looking really bright. For whatever reason, a month later, I think she was, obviously she had been battling, when you think about and talk about or think about, mental illness, a lot of those of us who have been through that, we battled in silence. And I think, that for me was, one of the most, horrific and most tragic moments in my life, where, just a month after, we were wedded, she took her own life, to even speak about it, it just conjures up all these emotions, I guess. But I guess that also catapulted me into some dark places as well, too, post that. And I think it was a good 10-year period that I'd gone to some very, very dark places and had some very dark moments in my life. Despite the fact, you're now a single father and I went through my own, relationship, revolving doors or turnstiles.
Up and down.
And I had no business of being in any relationship post. Not even, I think I got involved in a serious relationship, I think it was perhaps a year and a half to 2 years after the tragedy, and I had no business of being with anybody because I was still dealing with a lot of grief.
The trauma.
And mate, we'd met not too long after that as well, and if I did the straights, I'd gone through and I did the straights, and if anything, anyone would have thought that, life was flying high and I was good.
Appearances
there, but there was extremely, really, really dark moments, and I think it came to the pointy end where I myself, nearly checked out in 2013, I had a moment there where, I was there, it was touch and go. And I was lucky that, there was just something just came through from the other side, just asked me to consider, what about Ikaika and Mele? And it was almost like a voice that was there with me. And it just snapped me out of the trance that I was in, because I was in an absolute trance.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And from that day, I've been on the steady trajectory up, but what gave me insight was, it was a cousin that was helping me move out of a place that I was moving out to around that time, and I was going through that period, and unbeknown to myself, he was probably going through the same stuff.
Right.
And about 2 weeks later, he checked himself out, and that's without you know, without us.
And didn't realize.
Because we were just surface talking and, you know, we were just, because, you know, to go too deep.
Do. Yeah, that's what we do.
Exactly. Because for me to go too deep about, you know, what I was actually battling was just too painful, right? Yeah. So we were just, another breakup, brother. Yeah, come and help me out. I've got to move out. I've got to put this stuff in the storage. So, you know, he's helping me out at the same time. Then 2 weeks later, he checks in. I'm going, like, why didn't he talk to me? But I didn't talk to him, man. I didn't say anything to him at the same time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it gave me, like, you know, because going through my wife's period now, right, wife's time, I think, you know, I was in it. I was in the eye of the storm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of toxicity in around that as well, in terms of, you know, what everyone was feeling, because everyone was, you know,
of course, family
blame, guilt. You know, there was just it was such a toxic environment, and then seeing this, you know, years later now, just a few years later, and going through that, you know, seeing my cousin and seeing that. So I had even though I was in there, I was still able to have a. You know, there was a couple of degrees of separation, but seeing the impact on everybody and seeing the impact, because going through my wife's experience, I mean, I was just in there, right? So it's all a bit of a blur to me. Whereas here now, going through what seeing the family and the impact of you know, seeing what happened to my, you know, the tragedy of my cousin, gave me kind of like, I would hate to do that. You know, to see that impact on the family, and you know, like, for whatever reasons that, you know, the choices there. Look, I know what those choices are like, but for someone to, you know, for us to think, and I just have deep empathy for those who are battling with, you know, with mental health and mental illness, because, you know, that, like, to think that's your only outlet, is to go
that's
to that.
You see that as your only option,
man. That's, you know, that's a dark place, and it's and you know, for me, it's about, you know, always being able to be accessible, to reach out and to let people know that you're always there if you need someone to talk to. I actually understand, or I've got some insight into, you know, I'm not an expert, but pal, I've been there.
Yes,
you know, I've been to the edge.
Yeah, you've been I nearly
jumped off the edge.
Yes,
yeah.
The memoir, So Far, So Good, is that a part of the reason to do it, Aaron, is to, again, just contribute to opening up the debate about mental health, about suicide, about mental illness? Is that what you hope, one of the things? Someone like yourself, who's, you've done everything that a bloke would want to do. You've been a footy player, you've been an actor, and now a writer and producer. Someone in your position, I mean, is that one of the things that you hope flows from this book, is that your openness in going to those dark places?
Yeah, look, I think, for me, it was to actually, like, my purpose for the book was to actually just lay it out for my kids.
Okay. And are there things in there that the kids don't know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's things that, you know, my kids didn't know. And my kids were the ones that read the first draft and, you know, this is what's going on. You need to read this. Because you need to know if you're comfortable about this, and if you're not comfortable, I'll take it out.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, there's things in there that, you know, that my kids weren't aware of. But I think, given, you know, that they'd, you know, raised them, so to speak, and I mean, even though they knew that I was under immense pressure at times, and, you know, at times I was, you know, I could be, you know, moody, or, you know, I'd switch from one to another really quick, or I'd be indecisive, or I'd lack a lot of energy because of, you know, the whether it was delayed grief or whether I was just, you know, in not a good place, but still holding together, because, you know, you can't let your kids, you got to turn up as a parent all the time, you know. But I think it was just to give them insight in terms of, this is what your father's been through. This is what he's done. And, you know, even though it's going out to the whole world, but this is, you first, you get to read the manuscript first. And this is, you know, and you can, you know, look at my life as, you know, I guess you can make all the dumb mistakes in the world. But if you own them, you're accountable for them, or you're willing to switch, change, you know you can find your way out of it, and people will help you too. People will surround, like, as long as you're fed income about putting in the work and doing the work, people will naturally chime in and help you. And you know, I've no man's an island. I've been assisted by some really, really good people, and I've surrounded myself with really good people. But I think for me, it was just first and foremost, it was to my kids. And if anyone else is able to, you know, get anything out of it, I mean, that's just a bonus.
That's
for me.
That's a bonus.
Like Gavin, like, yeah, we've seen the impacts of, you know, mental illness and mental health in our community, and we've lost some, you know, really kind of, you know, some other great people in due to that. And I think if this book, you know, does anything in that space, you know, I hope it does. But first and foremost, you know, I needed to start with my children
with the kids.
And let them know who their daddy was.
And anything after
who
that
their daddy is.
And anything after that is a bonus.
Yeah.
The book and audio book, I understand, so far so good, memoir by Aaron Faso, is out now. It's available absolutely everywhere, from Kmart and Big W, airports, bookshops, of course. Get it online as well. Congratulations, mate. It's probably just part one, because I'm sure part two of the memoir will be out, so when you're 80.
When we'll get 65 or something.
We'll 65.
That's if I get there.
Yeah, you'll get there. Aaron Faso, an absolute pleasure. Thanks for sharing in such candid detail as well, mate. We really appreciate it. So Far, So Good, out now. Thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thanks, King. Appreciate it.
If anything that Aaron and I spoke about today raised any issues or concerns for you, don't forget, one of the best places to start is Lifeline. You can give them a call 24 hours a day on 13 11 14.